got Eddie.
Hey.
My man. How you doing?
Very good. How are you?
Yeah, doing well, man. Welcome, everybody, to Monday Night Live. Drop in the comments. Let us know where you are tuning in from. You may notice my backdrop's a little bit different. Might be a little bit blurry. I'm down in Margaret River in the wine country. So, cheers. I know it's a bit early for you, Scott.
Cheers, man.
So, Scott and I met each other on the beautiful island of Phuket when I was selling real estate. And I remember...
12 years?
Yeah, yeah. I just remember like going to all of the, the happening parties in Phuket Island, all the restaurant launches, and Scott's there and he's got his BlackBerry out. And I said, what are you doing on that thing all the time? He said, dude, I got 1 million followers on Twitter. I said, what's Twitter? And here we are, you know, years later. And Scott's been a bit of a mentor of some sorts in the social media game. I think he's somebody that is just, there's people that spot the trends early, but then there's people that ride the trends early, and Scott's definitely one that's riding the trends early. Scott, well, when was it that you actually, decided that social media was going to be the way of the future and decided to do something about it?
Well, I really didn't know. It was like, I'm not one like Gary Vee knew that it was the future, and he went all in. You know, I mean, he was all in even before his Twitter game. You know, he was already all in on different things and blogging and things like that. But the thing was for me is I've always been one to go out every night. I want to meet as many new people as I possibly can, you know, meet new people, make new friends, possibly do business, whatever. But then when social media came around and I found out that I could do that 24 hours a day globally, I mean, that just put my whole life on steroids. And I was like, wow, I want to meet as many people as I can. It's crazy. So it's still mind-numbing to me when I meet somebody that is still half pregnant on social media. Like they have reservations and they don't know if it's for them and they don't know if it's right for their business or they don't, like it's mind blowing. Like the world is not getting less digital. It's only getting more digital.
Yeah.
So how everybody doesn't go all in right now, and especially after the pandemic,
yeah.
Like if that didn't fast track innovation, like what is going to change your mind?
Yeah, it is crazy, really. Yeah, I love that term as well, half pregnant on social media. thanks for tuning in, guys. Good to hear from some of you. Yeah, if you just tuned in, let us know where you are in the comments. Say hello in the chat. We've got Scott Eddie on the line, for those that have just joined us. Was voted third most influential in the travel industry there was that brand, I can't remember the name of the company that used to do those things. What was it?
There was all those ranking companies, like, I was ranked 5, yeah. And 10, and 3, and whatever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so just give you a bit of context. Like, Scott flies around the world, visiting the finest locations, stays at the 5-star hotels, on the best airlines, and not only, you know, is a lot of this paid for, he gets paid to do it, right? This is his job, you know? So I'm sure there's a lot of people that would love to have a job like that. But Scott, I know you've got a really interesting background before you got into the influencer game. Do you want to take us back to how you started out and when you first began your business journey? I don't know if you did much entrepreneurial stuff before the travel influencer marketing and the digital agency, but I know you're in finance. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, I'll give you the elevator pitch of my life. When I was growing up, my father's side of the family was all police officers. So for me, that was inherently what I was going to do as soon as I finished high school. I hated school. I was a horrible student. There was no college, university in my tunnel. So I was going to finish high school, join the police academy, get married, have the 2.5 kids, retire and die. Like my life was so mapped out. Well, every day, middle school and high school, after school, I spent mostly at the police department, hanging out with my dad, watching interrogations. I learned how to give a polygraph when I was like 14 and took my driver's license test in a police car, you know, like I live that life. It's the only thing I really know how to do. 3 weeks before I graduated high school, and I already had my date to start the police academy, my father was killed in the line of duty in a plane crash. And it just turned my whole world upside down. I just turned 18. And I went from having a perfect plan to having zero plan because I didn't want to be a cop anymore and not knowing what I wanted to do because I wasn't really trained for anything. So my friend's friend was a stockbroker in New York. The markets were booming. This was 1989-90. And he said, listen, all the top guys from my firm are moving down to Fort Lauderdale, just north of Miami, to open up an office, an investment banking firm, and I can get you into the training program. And I was like, I don't know math. I don't know how to sell. I don't know, like, everything you're saying is wrong. So I did it. I went to the orientation and got accepted. And I was like, well, I don't really have any more options. So I did it. And I was trained by, in my opinion, the best of the best on Wall Street. And I learned how to sell.
Was this Belfort?
No. But it was back in those days and you know, a very aggressive type of sales. You know, it didn't matter. Those days, it didn't matter if you were at the old Lehman Brothers or the old Bear Stearns or, you know, even Goldman Sachs. It didn't matter. Everybody was doing aggressive sales. So in my opinion, selling financial instruments is the best foundation for sales, because if you can do that, if you can cold call, if you can really turn around a simple cold call into a multi-million dollar client, you can sell anything to anybody. So I did that for 10 years and was really successful all of the 90s. Then they came out of the office one day in 99 and said, we just sold the firm. If you show up on Monday, you're going to have a new owner. So half the place resigned, including myself. And the guy who was sitting next to me, his best friend was an expat living in Thailand. And he goes, listen, you're 29. You've never been to Europe. You've never been to Asia. What is wrong with you? Come over and see me. So I bought a 2-week ticket to Bangkok. And after 4 days, I called my mom. I said, I'm never coming home. I found my home. I'm super happy. I love everybody here. I love everything about it. Send my stuff. And I ended up living in Bangkok for 11 years. And that's when we met, because there was a couple times where I was based in Phuket. But, you know, again, it goes back to the meeting new people and this and that. I was around. I was meeting new people. I was jumping at opportunities. And that was for a couple years, getting myself acclimated, because it's a big difference living in a very first world trend setting country and going into a developing country where, you know, 10 people rule the whole country. So
because you were always, you always had a few bottles with you when you're at the clubs. You said to me one time, Nat, I don't,
right?
yeah. But you said to me, you said to me once, I paid attention to you. You said, Nat, I never get drunk. You know, I've got these bottles here, but I always pull the pin before all the mayhem starts.
You know? 100%. And I still go by that today. I never, I drink socially, but I never, like, people's goal to go out and get smashed every night and, like, black out. You know, that's the goal of, like, the UK and, like, you know, certain parts of the world. That's like their mission when they leave work. Yeah. But it's, I if I'm not getting value in the night, why am I doing it? Like, just to go out, it doesn't do anything for me. If I'm not meeting new people every night, why even do it? So anyway, social media came around a couple of years later, and on a whim, what turned out to be, I started the first digital agency in Southeast Asia, and we were the biggest for 5 years, and all those hotels that were entering the Southeast Asian market, we were building out the digital strategy and doing the consulting and doing everything. And I didn't know anything. Marketing, like, I knew zero. Tech, social, like, I knew nothing. So what I did was, I was fortunate to have connections at different advertising agencies, and I took the top people from every agency and really built a strong team. My only job was to introduce new clients to them, which that was easy because I was around all the time. So I knew everybody at the hotels and whatnot. And I just watched for 5 years. I watched, and then I sold the agency and built up my personal brand, and that's what you see today.
Yeah. So I think a lot of the people that are tuning in would be wondering, you know, well, how did you get started in this, you know, the travel business, getting these contracts with, you know, hotels? I mean, it sounds like you did it a lot of it through networking. But to the guys tuning in that are like wondering how to, I don't know, for example, branch into that space, what would you suggest they did, and how did you do it?
Listen, my advice always is, number one, you have to be a thought leader in your industry. How do you do that? You have to be as active as you can be on social. How many ever times you're posting a day, it's not enough. How you have to take every advantage to speak on your industry's behalf as much as you can. You know, every day, listen, my brand is established, okay? I've been doing this hardcore, all in, not half pregnant since 2008. I still, on a daily basis, look up 4 or 5 different hashtags to see the current conversations going on Twitter about current conversations that are going on. Now, people are thinking, well, Twitter, that's not, you know, like, that's Instagram's where it's at. No, Instagram's the coolest place where it's at. I still get 80% of my business comes incoming from people that I'm connected with on Twitter. So it's all about spreading yourself across all the platforms, not alienating some just because they're cool. When something new comes out, jump on it, because that's where you're going to get the most organic growth. You know, I've recently started getting more aggressive on LinkedIn. It wasn't really a focus of mine. I was there, but it wasn't a super focus, but I've been more active lately and seen the results from it. I've become very active on TikTok. I'm posting 1 or 2 times a day. I've grown like 3,000 followers over the past week. It's crazy. Wow. And I haven't even had anything go viral. It's just that pure organic growth that you get in the beginning stages of a platform. So how people don't take advantage of that, it's beyond me.
So you were really active on Twitter at the start. I don't think I've ever got one lead from Twitter, to be honest. I mean, maybe indirectly, maybe.
You've never gone all in, so you don't really know.
I haven't. But I do find Twitter quite good for like finding out what conversations are going on and that kind of thing, you know.
I love it. The reason I love Twitter so much is because it's still the only platform where it's just about pure conversations.
Yeah.
Conversations not wrapped around a piece of content. Yeah. You have Clubhouse, but Clubhouse is only live. Like if you're not free from 8 to 8:30, when that thing's going on, you're done. You know, for me, I listen to lots of podcasts. I can't remember the last time I listened to one live ever. Yeah. I love Gary V. I listen to everything he pushes out 100 times. I've never, ever, ever tuned into anything he does live.
Yep.
Download it on YouTube and listen to it when I'm walking to the beach for the sunrise in the morning and things like that. I mean, you have to do what's best for you.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. What works? Yeah, works best for you. So, what's the craziest experience you've had since you've been doing this travel influencer business?
So it's really funny because I don't have the normal life of a normal travel influencer. Okay. A lot of these people, that's their whole bag of tricks, is their audience, and they do nothing else. That they're a one trick pony. You know, they may sell their presets on Instagram, you know, things like that. But so they're in it for the crazy experiences. My travels are very curated. I'm on an itinerary, and I do these influencer trips to get access to decision makers. So when I do a trip, I make sure that I have dinner with the GM, dinner with the director of PR, this and that. Because those relationships, that's like the equivalent of a normal person in my space, like Beautiful Destinations or whatnot, doing a jump out of a plane, doing a parachute fall or skydiving or things like that. For me, that's the goal. For them, that's the goal. They just want that content. I want to meet those people so I can do business with them long term. I can build out their digital strategy. I can, you know, create their internal assets. I can do all their drone stuff, you know, things like that. So I really don't have any, Amber, am I crazy that I play my Mondays around Monday Night Live? You're not crazy because you're here. She's in Cape Town. I actually might be going to Cape Town in August. No, not Boiler Room. That was a, don't believe everything in movies. I might be going to Cape Town in August for a couple weeks or even the whole month. I'm still trying to figure it out because my August is quite dead right now. But yeah, it's I don't have crazy experiences. I mean, you know, I was told that I'm gonna go to an African food tasting one night in Bangkok, Soi 3, you know, where all those African restaurants are. And we went to the back room and had monkey brains. And didn't tell us until after the meal. I thought I was tasting, it tasted like liver, which I'm not a fan of either. But, you know, like things like that, you know, there's a lot of little stories, but nothing crazy because I'm in it for the business. Like, yeah. I don't care about all that.
So when you started out, was there a, you know, did you have did you land one of those big deals that sort of was a turning point for you with, you know, one of the airlines or one of the hotel groups? It was quite a big.
No, you know, my turning point was I just was doing it to make new friends and to meet new people all around the world. And my turning point was I started getting a lot of, when social started to mature in the States, and you know that's the epicenter for this business. When social started to mature, I started getting a lot of incoming business offers from the States. And I finally got one in 2015. In January 2015, from San Francisco, there was a travel startup app that was coming out of Silicon Valley. And they offered me to be their global brand ambassador, come be based in San Francisco, actually live with the founder and really just blow out this app.
Wow.
And, you know, he reached out to me on Twitter. We jumped on a Skype call. And after talking two or three times over the next two or three days, I was on a plane with him 5 days and I moved back to the States. That was the turning point. Because when I got back to the States, Twitter was booming. Every PR person, every media person, everybody was on there. And I was already established on there and I started getting offers. It was just ridiculous because that is when, so even then there was no such thing as hotel room or posting on Instagram for hotel rooms. There was no such thing as, you know, the world that we live in today,
yeah,
a person who's broke, but they have 1 million followers can live like a king because of their audience. There was none of that. I never even accepted a free glass of wine because of my audience when I lived overseas. I paid for everything.
Funny. Yeah. So, okay. So it sounds like in some respects, like the influencer thing could be your foot in the door, like, you know, especially if you're going through PR agencies and stuff, but you're able to like offer them content, distribution, and then even some, even web marketing services, which,
yeah, you know, so I mean, I still provide all the services of a digital agency. You know, my foundation, we do crazy good paid social campaigns. You know, I mean, we're providing anywhere from 3 to 11 times ROI on Facebook ads. Like how are you not going all in on that? It's unbelievable for a business. You know, we're doing strategy work. We're doing, you know, now I have the TV show on Lifetime TV. I'm the host of that. And by the way,
tell us about that.
Yeah. So that came about. So there was this lady who followed me, Kristen, who's now my publicist. She was following me on Instagram for about 1.5 years. And one day she always comments on my stuff and we have conversations back and forth. But one day I was actually in town in South Florida in Fort Lauderdale at a hotel. And she goes, "Hey, you're in town. Let's meet up for a drink." So, you know, me, yes. The answer is yes, always. And we met up and she's like, "Why aren't you doing, you know, more speaking engagements? Why don't you have a book? Why don't you have a show? Why don't you have this? You know, I should represent you, this and that." So finally, I get approached by PR publicists all the time. And what I say to all of them, "Hey, let's see what you can bring me. And if it is of value to me, then we can talk about a long-term deal. So I said the same thing to her. Within 2 weeks, she approached me and said, there is a travel show that this studio has had on the shelf for a while. They're looking for a host. Come in. And it came to life and she became my publicist.
You'd be perfect for that. Yeah.
So we finished filming the first episode. It's called Video Globetrotter. You can check it out, videoglobetrotter.com. We finished filming the first episode, the pilot episode, a few weeks before the pandemic. It premiered during the pandemic, so we got crushed, but they never canceled it. And I just found out 4 or 5 days ago that we're filming episode 2. We're leaving on Wednesday and we're shooting in California in Palm Springs for episode 2. And
wow. Awesome.
Yeah, I try to keep my hands in every area of hospitality, tourism, but actually I work with everybody. Like I work with car companies and I do a lot of stuff,
yeah.
But primarily it's tourism and hospitality.
I mean, you know what I do, but like, I've got this LinkedIn agency. I've got a bit of an audience on LinkedIn, YouTube, probably a little bit. And I've been approached by some tech startups, a couple of them, and it's been a really good relationship. Like they've got a lot out of it. I've got a lot out of it. It's been a really good experience. But I'm not proactively going out there seeking brands. So there's a lot of them that would have no idea that I exist. Do you have any advice for me on how I could be a bit more proactive in that area? Is it those relationships with PR companies or what would you suggest?
Yeah, I mean, PR agencies are easily my number one feed for business. I have never, this is funny because it's very opposite of everybody in my industry. I've never pitched anybody. Yeah, I wouldn't know how to put together a proposal if my life depended on it. Thank God I got people in my life that know how to do that. So
yeah.
I find that the more active I am on social, the more income and business comes my way. And I let things come to me organically because in the beginning, I used to go after business all the time. And what happened was you find yourself trying to sell the unsellable and you find yourself wasting time. So
yeah.
I would rather push out an enormous amount of content, you know, positioning myself as a thought leader in the industry and organically making the right business relationships.
And,
you know, make sure you're following the right people that are in your business.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, follow all the top advertising agencies, all the top PR agencies, all the top companies, all the top decision makers in your industry across all platforms. And then apparently, especially on Twitter, a lot of them will follow you back. And then the more content you push out, the more they're going to see you, the more you show up in their feed.
That makes perfect sense.
Talking about, and you're not, you know, like an idiot and you actually have something behind it.
Yeah.
Business will come.
It
takes a lot longer and people don't want to invest time these days. They want everything overnight.
Yeah.
But
you don't have to convince people.
Highway.
People that when they contact you, they've already decided they want to do something. Whereas, you know, if you're reaching out to people, you kind of you're going to spend a lot of time convincing people that it's even the right strategy.
Especially now. I mean, now with us going through the pandemic, you know, everybody's reevaluated their life. They're reevaluating the decisions they make. You know, now you basically have to remaster the experience economy, if that makes sense. You know, I mean,
tell me more about that.
The best collaborations are the most unlikely ones. So I will do a deep dive in the automotive industry, like car dealerships and whatnot like that. And I'll look at their strategies and I'll watch the top people in that industry. I'll watch them on YouTube for a whole day, maybe 7-8 hours of YouTube. And then I'll try to figure out how I can apply that strategy in the travel space or in the hospitality space and how you can make that hook that works so well in that industry.
Yeah, absolutely.
Those are the type of things that nobody does. Like in my world, is all these people do is pitch travel people. I have never pitched a travel person in my life because why would I do that? Those people are going to automatically come in organically if I'm doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. I'll pitch a very unlikely industry. Like, I want to come down to Australia, and I told you a little bit about this before that I want to talk to you about doing business together. Like, I want to – most people want all the business for themselves. I'm all about the collaborations. First off, you bring a different aspect to everything than I do. So us being on a team and growth, what people don't understand, growth is not an individual solopreneur sport. Growth is a team sport. So us putting our heads together, going after business, we put together a team that's very unlikely, but it would be highly successful. And people would see the ROI because it's so unlikely. You know what I mean? Yeah. I want to come down to Australia and like be based there for 6 months and just go after business. You know, I mean, here's my strategy. And I was going to wait to tell you this when we got offline, but let's just do it here. Here's my strategy. I prefer to do business overseas than in the US. Okay. I would rather be a big fish in a small pond than a massive fish in the ocean. You know, yeah. I'm fighting other whales over here. I would rather go to a place where social media is not so mature, even though it's mature, it's not as mature as it is in the US. And trends follow what's going on over here. I would rather go to a place like Australia and say, hey, Matt, this is what we should do. We should plan like workshops in areas that we know. So say hospitality and tourism. Say hospitality, because tourism and travel sort of fits under there as well. Okay, we're going to do a hospitality workshop. We're going to put together a three-hour workshop. You and I are going to chop it up on the stage. We're going to show real tactics. We're going to invite all the leaders from that industry, and it's going to be free. We're not going to make any money, but it's going to be free. It's going to be highly produced. We're going to record all the content. We're going to use it for social, and we're going to do it in every major city in Australia, and we're going to do it one weekend right after the other. We're going to go to Sydney. We're going to go to Perth. We're going to go to Melbourne. We're going to go to everywhere, right?
Yep. Yeah, it'd be awesome.
How much business do you think – forget about the business. How much good content do you think we're going to create? We're going to have content to push out for 18 months.
100%.
On top of it, how much business do you think is going to be incoming?
Well, I mean, all you need is, I mean, if you've got 100 people in the room and you got two or three big fish in there, I mean, you don't need a lot of them to come on board, okay. Do you?
Now, the reason why is because you're giving first.
Yes.
You have to give. And that's the problem with the world that we live in today is everybody wants to take first, give first. I don't care how big I am. Do you know I still go on and follow a couple hundred new people every day on Twitter? Every day. And I'm not following people, Casey Neistat. I'm not following people with millions of followers. I don't care about those people. My conversations on Twitter are with people that have 100 followers, 500 followers, 5,000 followers. Those are the real people that I want to converse with. I don't care about the big accounts.
Yeah.
You have to give. When you stop giving, your brand stops growing.
Yeah. And it's an easy way to stand out from the crowd because there's so many out there that want to see what they're getting out of it first. And you just end up coming at from a place of scarcity. You know, I remember when the first time I did an event where it didn't pitch from stage, you know, like I was good at selling from stage. I got really good at it. I like closed like 30% of the room or whatever. And I, you know, I'd get all these sales. And I thought, you know, I'm not going to pitch this time. Gary Vee talks about not pitching. I'm not going to pitch. So I just added all this value. And then I was like, thanks for coming, guys. See ya. and then I got a client that out of it that was like worth, he would have been worth more than, it would have been worth more than 200 sales or something, like just one client, because I got the big guy. And my question I always ask myself is, would he have bought if I pitched?
No.
You know? I don't think he would have.
100%. 100%. So let's answer some of the questions that are coming in.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, sure.
Michaela's asking, I don't have plans for Cape Town yet. You can keep that up because I'm going to answer that one next. I don't have plans for Cape Town next. It's something that I want to do because I have some friends down there and I'm just thinking about just going down and, you know, just visiting and absolutely trying to network and just meet new people and this and that. I just like to be – so I lived in Europe and Asia for 17 years in six different countries. So for me, I am I'd rather be on the go than just stay in one place. So if you follow me on social and you can see my handle on the screen, you will know when I'm planning a trip or when I'm in an area, because I'm super active. When everywhere. I'm traveling, I do 20 to 30 Instagram stories a day. So Instagram stories and tweets are easily my two most active timelines per year, per day. And am I a mogul? I don't like that word. I mainly work in the hospitality, luxury travel, tourism industry. I will absolutely hit you up. Connect with me on somewhere. The only place I don't check my DMs is on Twitter, but I clearly say that in my bio. But you can hit me up on Instagram. We could stay in touch. There's nothing that I won't do if I find that it brings me value and it makes sense for my brand. Like, I'll do a campaign for a tire company. I'll just figure out how to work that into my strategy. You know, I mean, tires. Okay. I like doing road trips. Road trips are in the travel industry. Let's do it. If it makes sense, you know what I mean? So you gotta make sense. I get approached by a lot of things. Let's talk about the pandemic. You know, I mean, my industry, I normally speak at 20, 30 conferences a year, either online or in person. I had maybe 11 retainer clients. I get paid to do all my trips. So my business went to zero, not almost zero, not it went from $1 million to 100,000. It went to zero. Like, this was my bank account for 13 months. I had zero money coming in. I had a decision to make during the pandemic. What do I do? How do I make money? So the decision that I came to was, I lost all my retainer clients, but I didn't stop working with any of them. I knew that I always try to over-deliver by 20-30% with every client that I have. It's my strategy. It's my lifetime goal. And it will never change. So I thought about that during the pandemic, and I'm like, listen, these people need me more than ever right now. They need somebody to hold their hand. They need somebody to guide them for a digital strategy. They need somebody to tell them that, oh my God, don't go completely dark because of the pandemic. Post more, because now you have to be more human than ever. So I decided to keep my workflow the exact same. And I even took on a couple new clients, but I wasn't taking in any new money. But what I found out was, as social media got more and more active and screen time actually increased, I started getting all these crazy offers, like from vape companies, and they wanted me to promote their product and this and that. I've never even smoked a cigarette in my life. I'm going to promote a vape company? That is the most not authentic thing I could possibly do. So, you know, I mean, and I remember specifically that offer, it was from one of the big vape companies in America. They offered me $9,000 to blow a puff of smoke into my screen to a video, a 4-second video on Instagram. And I said no, when I was making zero. So when I tell you, it doesn't matter if things are going good or things are going bad, I stick to my strategy. I stick to how authentic I am. And I stick to my give first strategy, more importantly.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. What's one of the biggest mistakes that these companies are making in the travel industry, hospitality? Do they have a pretty clear understanding of how much content they actually need to be producing, or do you have to educate them around that?
No, nobody knows. Nobody knows. Yeah. And understand, people think that companies are getting better, and are they getting better? Absolutely. But better to the point of 1% were doing it right before to now maybe 5%. I mean, companies are still dinosaurs. Okay. Every company messes up marketing because you lean too heavy into sales, because you have to hit those short-term targets, not realizing that everything you do doesn't produce overnight results. Here's what most businesses don't understand. Your sense of humor is your greatest strength, not your weakness. And you have to go all in on that. And you have to go all in on your content strategy and really, really go all in on developing as much content as you possibly can. And they're like, no, I don't want to bore people. Well, yeah, you're going to bore people if you have a boring message.
Yeah.
Put your personality into it. Humanize your brand. Humanize your brand and really go all in on a content strategy. People don't realize, you know what people did during the pandemic? What they do during every crisis. They got rid of their PR and they got rid of their marketing. They got rid of their social. Why? Because it doesn't produce overnight results. Hmm. You're an idiot. Those are the three things you should have went all in on during the pandemic. And the companies that did benefited.
And they deserve to, because I mean, it's not easy, right? When you money stops coming in, like, to be able to put what your customers' needs are first and to prioritize that stuff that doesn't bring in the short-term goals, you build immediate. I mean, you're going to build a lot of trust because your competitors won't be doing it, you know.
I mean, the companies that do it, you will stand out so much from the pack. You will annihilate your industry.
Mm.
You know, you're no longer just a restaurant. You're no longer just a tire company. You're no longer just an airline. You are an airline and a media company. You are a restaurant and a media company. You are a tire company and a media company. You have to go all in.
Yeah.
It's enough already. It's 2021.
And so how do you help businesses do that, like hotel groups, airlines? Do you run workshops with them, or do you, like, I just imagine that their preference would be like, here, Scott, you do it all.
And you know, it's really funny. The mindset of any digital agency out there is for somebody to outsource every single piece of their marketing and advertising to you.
Hmm.
So you could charge them. The most effective way is to have everything internally. What I do is the opposite. I say, hey, I'll build out your strategy. I'll build out your internal brand strategy. I will show you what you need to do, how often you need to do it, what hashtags to use, what to use for paid social, how much organic to push out. And then I'll come in, I will help you hire the right people, because companies don't know how to hire the right people. They don't know how to ask the right questions in an interview to hire the right people, because the right person, or somebody acting like the right person, they don't know how to tell them apart. They don't know how to ask the right questions because they don't know about social.
Yeah.
So we help them hire the right people. We do workshops with them internally and train the right people, and then offer guidance on the outside. So, hey, you have a beautiful hotel. You have a beautiful resort. You're right on the ocean. You need an internal asset library of videos, of drone photography, of hotel assets, of rooms, of all your food, just everything. And it needs to be updated every 3 months, every 6 months. But your team will be running everything internally, but I'm there for support.
Yeah.
So that's what I do.
Yeah. That's awesome. Makes perfect sense. Guys, like, the social media industry, right? It's still so immature. Like, there's so many cowboys out there. And what Scott was saying about, like, not knowing how to hire the right people, not knowing how to ask the right questions. It's the same is it with any business that's hiring an SEO company, social media company.
Absolutely.
You know, it's completely understandable that you don't know the questions to ask. And, like, people get wrapped up in, like, these big marketing offers, like a SEO guarantee or, you know, whatever. If you're in business, you drop in the chat and let us know. You know, who hasn't had a bad experience with an SEO company? We all have, even I, you know, we've all been there. There's so many cowboys because it's so easy, there's no barriers to entry, that you've got to know the questions to ask when you're looking for the right people. And you need experience to do that. So I think that's, you know, long-term, that's going to have the best impact for these businesses. The problem is, if you outsource it, you're going to have to keep outsourcing it because you're never going to get the experience, you know, internally to find out what works and what doesn't.
And again, you know, like, maybe you have the type of business where it makes sense to outsource. I'm just saying, don't have that to be your only option. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, especially for something so visual as a hotel or, you know,
they got
everything sitting on their doorstep and they're not using it. A lot of them, you know. But so how important is storytelling in marketing at the moment?
Oh, I mean, it's the only thing that matters. You know, I mean, I am not a believer in selling through your social. I am a believer of giving. Okay. Say I owned a restaurant. I want to have the chef or who's preparing the food, or if it's, you know, if you're not fancy enough to have a head chef, your GM or somebody talking through the menu, talking about where you get the ingredients, talking about, do you have a bar, talking about your cocktail list, talking about your happy hour, talking about how you're giving back to the local community and donating whatever to the local schools. Just, it's, the content is nonstop if you're running your business the right way.
Mm-hmm.
People know you're a restaurant. What do you do at restaurants? Everybody knows you go in to eat and drink. So you don't have to sell that. Yeah, you have to remind people of your specials and this and that. But people forget the 80-20 rule. They think the 80% part is selling. That's the 20% part. 80%. Show you're a human. Show that you're just like everybody else. If you're the top of the ladder, if you're the top of the food chain in that business, be visible. If you don't want to be visible, the next one down, be visible. If that person doesn't, the next one down. Just don't stop trying.
Yeah.
If nobody wants to be on camera, develop a character. Make cartoons, make animations, whatever. I mean, animations are getting huge right now.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what it is. If you can't afford it, go on Fiverr, go on Canva, make it yourself, watch YouTube for 90 minutes, learn how to do something. It doesn't, there's ways out there to do it on this budget and on this budget. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Is Facebook organic reach dead or is that a myth?
Yes.
It is.
100%. 100% it's dead. No, I mean, it's not, it's dead. Once the social media, listen, the business of Mark Zuckerberg and everybody who owns a social media platform is to give you something for free until you build up a business on it or get addicted to it and then start charging you for reach. You can't blame them. There's nothing wrong with that business. You got it for free.
Yeah.
People don't understand. It's free.
Yeah.
But the tiniest bit of money targeted the right way, running ads the right way, is highly effective on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I mean, every campaign is not $100,000. Every campaign is not $5,000. There's people out there spending $50 a week, $50 a day, $5 a day, $100 a week, whatever it is.
Yeah.
As long as you're in the game and not out of the game, sitting on the sidelines, half pregnant.
Absolutely. Yeah. You're either on the field or you're in the stadium watching the game, aren't you?
100%.
Yeah. I just wonder with that Facebook thing, you know, like, and I know the ads are really effective. I'm just wondering what it's doing to the user experience. You know, like, is the newsfeed as relevant to people now that organic reach isn't, you know?
My newsfeed is.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I tinker with it on a daily basis. You know, add new people, unfollow this, follow that. You know, I mean, listen, what makes ads effective is the only thing they put in your newsfeed is things you engage with.
Yeah.
I love when people say, oh, social media is terrible. Social media ruins things. Social media is the communication tunnel. That's all it is.
Yeah.
If you engage with political stuffs all the time and have arguments and this and that, and then the next day complain that you see nothing but politics in your newsfeed.
Yeah, exactly. Spot on. Yeah, absolutely.
So if you're not an optimistic person by nature, you're a pessimist, but you engage with nothing but pessimism, and then you complain that social media is nothing but negative, it's because you are. Social media exposes you. It doesn't create who you are.
Yeah. Well, on LinkedIn, like a lot of people who are reactive on the platform, they kind of just go in there and whoever send them an invitation is who they connect with. So they, and then they say to me, Nathaniel, LinkedIn's just full of salespeople, man, and full of recruiters. Because, I mean, who do you think is going to send you invitations to connect? Like, if you're not proactive and connecting with people that you want in your audience, because who you connect with on, you know, is who's going to see your content.
100%. So one thing I hate about all social media platforms, except for Twitter, is they have limitations. How many people you could follow, how many connections you could have. And on LinkedIn, you can only have 30,000 connections. So I'm at the limit, right? So every day I'm going through and removing connections on people that I don't talk to anymore. They're irrelevant. They change companies. They took off their profile picture. That's a big one. You don't have a clear profile picture. If I can't see who I'm talking to, if you have your company logo on your profile, you'd think you're marketing, I remove you immediately. If you're not, if your brand isn't human, I have no desire to talk to a storefront window. I want to talk to a human. And then when I add new people, if their first message is, oh, hey, blah, 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 this is what I, you know, like straight into sales, they get removed immediately. No, not even a response.
Yeah. And so you've got a really high quality network, right? And mine's the same. Like I've got to remove people all the time, and there's no way to do it. That's like you,
LinkedIn is not a, especially the app, it's not a user-friendly app. It's not like, you know, but listen, how long did it take Instagram to become?
It's getting there.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Twitter still not user-friendly, you know, the app experience, you know, I still prefer the desktop experience on Twitter versus the app, but you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've been doing this on LinkedIn for a while, but you know, people say like, oh, you know, LinkedIn stories suck. The live experience, like when LinkedIn Live first came out, like was a lot of problems with it. And I was like, yeah. I
still didn't get a response yet. What's wrong with that?
Okay.
Anybody from LinkedIn watching this? Come on.
I'm surprised, man. Yeah, they should be getting it through. I mean, for me, like I had to apply a few times, just send them some Facebook Live examples. But anyway, so like you do, the thing is, people forget that like, there's these engineering teams, product teams, and all these platforms constantly trying to make the user experience better. Like, so it might be crap today, but don't ignore it because they're just going to keep on working until it's good. And the good thing about LinkedIn is it does lag a lot of the other platforms. So, you know, when I saw LinkedIn Live was coming out, like I knew it was going to do the platform because I've seen it on Facebook. I mean, you know, we've seen it on YouTube.
Yeah.
People love live.
Yeah. 100%. You know, one of the biggest mistakes that companies make is they'll hear, oh yeah, well, society says I need to be more active on social. Society said I need to post on all platforms. So they make one post and they share it on every platform. It is the death of your business. Every platform has a different personality. Every group of followers on your platforms, they think different when they go on different platforms. You know, your mindset is different on Facebook than it is on LinkedIn. It's different from Twitter to TikTok. It's different. Therefore, you have to reflect the content for each personality of each platform.
100%.
So people are actually, it's a detriment to your business. You're not helping your business.
Yeah. They use it as distribution channels.
Yeah.
Post my blog and share it on every channel. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah.
The absolute death. The absolute death.
And look, these social media sites don't want people leaving their site. You know, sharing links to other stuff, like, is never going to do that well. But I mean, like what Scott's talking about is context. Like people like to digest things differently on Instagram than they do on LinkedIn. Right. And you've got to have enough empathy to be able to not only add value, but add value in a way that people want to consume it where they're hanging out, you know?
and not only that, think about this. So one of the phrases I hate on Instagram is what works well. What does well? What's the trend right now? What is going to give me more eyeballs and give me those vanity metrics to make me look big on a platform? Okay, those may be vanity metrics that Facebook is looking for, but how much ROI is it giving to your life?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, a 7-second or 6-second video is great for traction on Instagram Reels and TikTok. But you know what's really long tail ROI? Long form content. You may get less eyeballs right now, but the longevity of your content and people really doing, so I'm in the business of depth, not width, okay? I'd rather go really deep with 5 clients and have them for 15 years versus having 30 clients and having a huge office and just basically farm out all my content and just Like, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. People don't understand. There's no value in that.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear that. Like, that's, people say, the attention span of a human is less than a goldfish now.
It is. Of course it is.
But we're not goldfish. Like,
but that doesn't mean one out of 10 people won't watch your whole video. I don't care if overall the average watch time, I don't give a shit. I don't care. I don't look at it. I don't care if the average average watch time of my video is 15 seconds on a 16 second video. Yay! You got big numbers, but what are you going to do with those numbers?
Yeah.
I'd rather have my average watch time of a 3-minute video, 6 seconds, but two people watch the whole thing. Two people. One out of those two people are going to convert. If you know your chops, if you know what you're talking about, and if you have, you know, a valid point that you're making in the content, and people resonate with that.
And going back to what you said about depth, how important is it to take these conversations offline? You know, do you spend a lot of time on the telephone as well?
I can't even tell you how important it is. I use this to get to this.
Yes.
People don't understand that. I still don't go anywhere without a pocket full of business cards. I still, when I'm talking to people and I resonate with people, I still, hey, let's jump on a phone call. Hey, let's jump on a Zoom call. Hey, let's meet up for a drink if we're in the same place. Let's listen, watch what I do, not always what I say. What did I say when, what's her name? Amber. What's her name? What did I say when I said I'm going to Cape Town? Let's meet up. For me, it's the only thing that matters. Yeah. It's the only thing that matters.
Yes. Yeah. Because you were a networker before social came around. You were just like, oh, wow, now I can do it at scale.
Right. 100%. 100%.
Cool. I'm just having a look through the comments here. Thanks so much for jumping in and being so active, legends. Thank you. Be focused.
Yeah.
we're approaching an hour. Scott, I'm going to ask you a really stupid question. I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Where is the best place for people to learn more about what you're doing and follow along with your journey? Everywhere.
My name is here. You know, like, I'm Mr. Scott Eddy on every platform. That's even my website. You know, listen, take five minutes if you're interested and find out who I am and what I'm all about. I don't sell on social. I don't sell on my website. I talk about what I do, and if there's a fit, and if somebody watches me for enough, and you reach out, like, let's just do it. I was actually just in Nairobi 2 months ago. By the way, I'm in Kenya quite often. And I was just there. I was working with a few different resorts, Eliwana, and it's if you look at my, not my last Instagram post, but the one right before, me and my video guy it's actually my highest viewed video ever on Instagram, on my IGTV. Wow. And again, we didn't do it for seven seconds. We did it for 3 minutes. I love IGTV, gives me long tail. Like, now, you know how when I travel, I do like the walkthrough video of the hotel room. Now those videos are like 5, 6, 8 minutes. They used to be a minute. Okay. I don't even like being on camera. I love what it does. You know what it does? It shows my audience and potential people that I do business with. It tells people who I am, and it makes them feel like they already know me. So when we hop on a call, we're already friends. So let's do this. So let's talk about this selfishly. Let's talk about our relationship. Our relationship, because social media is what it is, if I flew to Perth tomorrow and we had dinner tomorrow night in Australia, we wouldn't spend the first 45 minutes of the conversation catching up on what each other's doing, right?
Yeah.
Because that's pretty, right. pretty much we know what we're doing. Yeah, there might be some minute things, but we can already jump into, hey, bro, let's do something together. Like, let's, like, we could already jump into the conversation.
That's right. 100%. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy. That's and so I'll true. Tell you something. Ian, you hate being on camera. You're too shy and too ugly. Too shy, maybe. Too ugly. Understand that that's your own opinion. I don't think, listen, I knew a long time ago that I'm not going to be a centerfold for GQ magazine. But I got news for you. That's my opinion, not everybody else's. So don't let that stop you. And I love the fact that even though you think you're too ugly, you still got your picture on the profile.
Yeah.
Never 100%. Stop. Never stop. You know, I mean, be yourself.
Yeah. And like people are not going to be watching it for that. If you got value, you know, that's what they're looking for. If people are just watching for how you look, they're probably the wrong people, unless you're a supermodel.
It's 100%. I can promise you people don't reach out to me because they want to date. I can absolutely promise you that. Maybe I'm having a good hair day.
Scott, I really appreciate your time. I know it's early over there, and we should do this again. It's been really valuable. Thanks for being here on Monday Night Live.
Thanks for having me, bro. And seriously, I want to come down there. I wasn't joking what I said. That's the plan. Let's do it, and let's do these things live. Oh, man.
Let's go. I'm in.